Hello and welcome. It's Gabriel Brown here doing podcast number 7, A Look Into My Life. We left off in podcast number 6 speaking about the wealth score and the ultra FICO score. All right. And we talked about how the ultra FICO score is essentially the wealth score that I've been talking about for the last 2 years. And finally, there's public information coming out about the wealth score. But the actual ultra FICO score has not been released yet. It will not be released until 2019. So in the meantime, we will continue to talk about the wealth score and the consumer files that are related to the Wealth Score Academy. Now, I had a past client come in my office today, and there were some challenges related to a rental property that she could not acquire because there was something blocking her from getting approved. And she arrived today with copies of the consumer files that I ordered for her, because when she completed our credit repair program, she really had very good credit after that. I believe her scores were in the high sixes and one in the 700s. And so she just knew she would get approved for this apartment or condo because her income was correct. She made 3 times the monthly rent. She had been on the job more than 2 years. Her credit debt to income was good. Her credit usage was good. Her credit capacity was good. All the protocols that we teach in our credit repair program at Vivix Credit Solutions, she was operating within those restraints of the protocols. And so when she arrived to the office today, I enrolled her in our wealth score system, where we request the consumer files to figure out which consumer file is blocking her from getting approved for a rental property. I think I know which one it is, but I won't mention it to her until such time that we actually get the file. All right. Now, previously, I've had clients come in with this same challenge, and typically the name of the consumer file that they had challenges with was SafeRent. And we talked about that in one of the previous episodes, where SafeRent is a database, a private database that collects information around the country about individuals that may have moved out of a rental property and have an outstanding balance, or left the place in a substandard condition, and therefore there was some repairs needed, and they were charged after the fact for the repairs, and if they didn't pay, they would be placed in SafeRent, the database, where property managers consult that database even after they've consulted the 3 major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. All right. So we have seen that correcting the file with SafeRent and a couple other consumer files related to rental property can help potentially get you approved. We can't say that everyone will get approved, but many of the clients that we have corrected, updated, or deleted information from these rental property consumer files went back and subsequently were approved. All right. Now, I'll tell you a couple situations where consumer files blocked me from being approved, and firsthand experience. There was a challenge where I was looking to get a black card, and I had an 800 credit score, had been on the job many years, my income was good, my credit utilization was good, my credit capacity was good. All of the protocols that you should operate under to have a great credit profile, I was using those protocols. but I still got declined for a black card. I typically like to rehash, which means to call and find out why I was declined. And so I called to find out why was I declined for the black card with an 800 credit score, and I was told that I had too many inquiries. And I knew that that wasn't true. Typically, that's something that banks say when they have checked a consumer file and they don't want to approve you, but they use the too many inquiries as a way of, you know, using a reason that is really not a big reason, but it is something that a lot of banks will say to you, you have too many inquiries. But I only had two inquiries. So I thought, how could two be too many? And so I asked, well, how many is too many? And I was told two was too many. And one of the inquiry was from me applying for the black card, and the other was from another bank. So I thought, this can't be true. So I collected some of the banking activity consumer files that I know the credit card companies and banks use, and I found the consumer file that Black Card was using outside of my three credit reports, and that consumer file suggested that I was unemployed, which was inaccurate. Okay, so I corrected the consumer file, updated it to showing where I was employed and how long I had been employed, and then I waited a few months, because in between applying for cards, some cards have restrictions that you have to wait a little bit, and I like to do that too, just to make sure I really want to apply again, because I hate wasting inquiries. So I waited a few months and I applied again. All right. And so this is my second time. I was still 800 credit score and I got declined. And I was like, what is this? How could I be declined twice? All right. I cleaned up the inquiries by sending a dispute to get those removed. So I didn't have too many inquiries. I still had an 800 credit score. And so when I asked the representative why was I declined, the gentleman was somewhat shocked after seeing my credit score and my profile. And he asked that I hold for a minute because he thought maybe there was a glitch in the system. And I was on hold for a few minutes. And I know what they do during that time that you're on hold. They consult your credit report and your consumer file. And then they speak with a manager or a supervisor. And the young man or the representative came back and said, Mr. Brown, you're approved. We're going to manually approve you. And I said, well, why didn't the system approve me? And he said, well, you know, there might have been some kind of glitch. Well, I do know that in most cases, with these high-end credit cards, the Platinums, the Palladiums, the Titaniums, the Black Cards, you know, the system remembers how recently you applied. And sometimes there's protocols where if the rep doesn't tell you, they prefer that you not apply again for 6 months. And so sometimes if you apply too close together, you could hit a glitch or a protocol where the guidelines for the bank is that anyone that applies within 6 months, the previous approval stands or the previous declination stands. All right. So I ended up getting approved for the card, and I started advising clients that wanted to get a black card and was declined, which consumer file to research and consult to see what data was there on that file. Now, I want to give you another story about me when I went to buy myself a Rolls Royce. I wanted to get a Rolls Royce, and it was a strategic move. It wasn't because I just wanted to drive a Rolls Royce, but it was a strategic move that I wanted to make. And I went to get the car, and I have a past experience with that dealership. I had purchased a car previously from them. That was a payment on that car was actually less than what the payment on the Rolls Royce would be. So I just knew I would get approved. I had perfect car credit history and an 800 credit score. So I go apply for the Rolls Royce, and the interesting thing happened. I wasn't told that I was declined. I was told that there was a stipulation in which I needed to bring some documents in, and that would potentially get me approved. So I wasn't sure if I was declined and needed docs to present to be approved, because the dealership kind of didn't give me clear understanding of what was happening, but they just asked me to bring in some documents. And this is what upset me. They wanted 2 years tax returns, 3 bank statements, and 2 pay stubs. Now, this is the same docs that are required for a mortgage. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, a Rolls Royce is basically the price of, you know, a small house. Yeah, but it's not a house, and it's not a mortgage. It's a car. So this was a car deal, not a mortgage deal. So I was upset about that. So I didn't want to bring those documents in. I said, I'm not going to bring those documents in. And I waited to get documentation from the car dealership that would be a disclosure, because they have to send you something in the mail in 30 days explaining if you were approved or declined. And when I got the documentation in the mail from the dealership, from Rolls Royce, it said that the cost of the vehicle, the cost of the vehicle was more than, or the application for credit was for more than the actual cost of the vehicle. So what that means is the dealership added such a high addendum onto the MSRP of the vehicle that the bank didn't want to finance that much money, and said that unless that you get the deal in alignment with what the bank will value the car at and approve the loan at, they'll basically decline giving you that much money. And at that time, there was an addendum on that car that I didn't know about, because you know, the car was in the showroom that I was actually shown, but the car that I wanted had to be delivered. So I go back to the dealership and I said, hey, this deal wasn't declined because my credit or anything like that. It was declined because the bank is saying the car is overpriced. So after going through some challenges with the dealership, and they continued to press me to supply 2 years tax returns, 3 bank statements, and 2 pay stubs, I decided to go to another Rolls Royce dealership and apply. Okay? So this time I apply with the second Rolls Royce dealership, and it's within 60 days of the first approval or the first application. I figure I shouldn't have a problem as long as they don't overprice the car. So this time I apply for the car, and now there's a stipulation where Rolls Royce has put in their system, so no matter where I go, they want documentation of the 2 years tax returns, the 3 bank statements, and the 2 pay stubs. And I can't figure this out. I have a past experience with a car that I still own that the payment was higher than Rolls Royce, the Rolls Royce payment, okay? And the income is there, the credit is there. I had about 7 car loans on my credit that were paid in full. I couldn't figure it out. Guess what? I found the consumer file that Rolls-Royce was consulting. It was a banking activity report. And this report was on an account that I didn't keep much money in. And because it did not show a lot of money in reserve, I was being asked to produce a bank statement, which would show some reserve, because you can have multiple bank accounts, and tax returns that would show how much I made, or two pay stubs. So all three of those would have verified income. Okay? But typically, with good credit and good past history to show that you can pay, you're not asked for these kinds of docs. So once I realized which consumer file it was for the banking activity, I froze that consumer file and went back to the first dealership. Okay? And applied again, because it was after the 30-day mark and you have to pull another credit report. And when I applied the second time, I got approved for the Rolls-Royce. And I now own that car. So, I can tell you that the consumer files do have an effect on your credit report or on your credit approval above and beyond your credit reports. And I can go over a few more incidences where this happened to me. But I have seen many clients struggle with this issue, thinking, maybe I have too much credit because I have great credit. I'm being declined because I have too much credit. Well, I have 57 credit cards, which most people think more than 5 is too much, or more than 10 is too much. Definitely more than 15 or 20 is too much. But I have 57. And after updating my consumer files and learning how to freeze these files each year, I seem to have opened up the ability to get more credit and leverage myself. And this is the offer that I make to my clients, to get involved in my WealthScore Academy, and let's go through the employment consumer files, the banking consumer files, the background criminal record or criminal history consumer files, your property consumer files, your prescription consumer files. I can go on and on and on. Your rental history consumer file, your checking account consumer files. All right. There's voter registration consumer files. There's so many consumer files that you have to update and make sure the information is correct, and then freeze them so you can keep the banks, lending institutions, and everyone that is consulting these files without your knowledge. Okay? The next podcast I'm going to talk to, how they can consult these files without your permission or your knowledge, because you have to have permissive use to consult Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, which are the big three credit bureaus, but there's also three minor credit bureaus. Okay? So I want to talk to you about how they get permissive use, or how they go around the permissive use rule to access consumer files about you. All right? So this is Gabriel Brown signing off on podcast number 7. If you have any interest in speaking with me or scheduling an appointment with me, you can go to my website, secretwealthscore.com, secretwealthscore.com, and schedule an appointment with me. It'll be a free consultation, and I'll go over some more details about some of the services we offer with regards to consumer files and the WealthScore Academy. I look forward to talking with you on tomorrow's podcast.